Grace, 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 grace. I told the pastor that after all of the grace that you've been hearing over this last year, I was just going to bring fire, hell, and brimstone. So I hope you're prepared for a sermon, you know, that's going to last a couple of hours, and we'll have you weeping by the time we're through. No, friends of Bethel, I have to tell you how delighted, how thrilled, what a joy it is for me as a bishop to be able to be with you today, because I so respect what you have done. You have done what so few of our congregations are willing to do. You have been willing to risk the future by uprooting yourselves and leaving behind everything which you had always known to be your home. So you, for me, are living examples, modern-day examples of what it means to be people of faith. You are a modern-day Abraham and Sarah. You know the story how they did the unthinkable? As a father of four daughters, I cannot imagine one of my daughters doing this. They left their home. They left their families. They left all that they had known to follow God into a future with no guarantees. It was simply a promised future. The Abraham and Sarah story, I think, reveals what is the essential ingredient of faith. If there's one ingredient to faith, this is it. They went out not knowing. Not knowing. Not knowing what the future would be like. Not knowing if God would come through with God's promise. Not knowing if they could handle the heartbreak of leaving family behind. Not knowing and yet still believing. Isn't that what faith is? Not knowing and yet still believing. They lived with incredible uncertainty. And it really comes to a crescendo, to a head in our Bible story today. Because today, Abraham has kind of reached the end of his rope. And he is questioning God. Oh, Lord God, what will you give me? Remember, God, you promised me. You promised me an incredible future. What will you give me? For I continue childless. And my only heir is the child of a slave. You've given me no offspring. How in the world is Abraham, now past 75 years of age, and Sarah, who continues to be barren, supposed to be the father of many nations? And what were the odds at 75 plus? Yeah. St. Paul put it this way: Abraham was as good as dead. Do you know what it means, folks, to have a promised future fade? Where you have great hopes and then you begin to wonder. There are so few signs that things are going well. I remember a phone call I got from Pastor Odie. That's right, when the future of Bethel Shoreline was literally staring him in the face. Your resources were all but gone. And Pastor was starting to ask the question, has the time come? Has the time come for us to close the doors and shutter the windows? And I have to tell you, it was killing your pastor. I worried for him. I encouraged him to take some time because it was breaking his heart. And it was breaking his heart because he so believed that God had a promised future for the people of Bethel. So like Abraham and Sarah, he encouraged you to do the unthinkable. To leave behind the building. Bethel of Shoreline. And to leave it behind to go to a new place next to a marijuana dispensary with a tavern next door? Pastor, what were you thinking? But a place that held up the possibility that Bethel could have a future, that children would once again be born into the faith community, and the name Bethel would live on. I've always liked the name Bethel because biblically it's always the place where God's people met God. I mean, how delightful is that? So in the times of Abraham and Sarah, you see, to be without children was to be without a future, because as you grew older and you had no ability to care for yourself, if you did not have children, you were simply left to die. And so children meant everything to their future. And it is why the command to honor your mother and father, that wasn't written for confirmation students. That was written for those in the community to ensure that they would take care of the elders, that they would take care of their parents. So in our Bible story, we find Abraham and God together, and it's a dark, dark night. And the light is literally fading out of Abraham's life, and Abraham is feeling desperate, kind of the way Pastor Odie was feeling when we began to talk. You know, it's been my experience over and over again, and check this out in your own life journey, that faith is almost always born out of darkness. Yes, that faith almost always comes after the desperate times of life. And we look back, we think, I don't even know how we made it through that, but look, we made it through. The word of the Lord came to Abraham that night. And God said, look up towards the heavens. Count the stars if you can count them, because there were so many. He said, your descendants, that promise, so shall your descendants be. Do you remember the last time you actually could look into the sky at night and see a billion stars? If you live this side of the mountains, that doesn't happen anymore. Last week, Kim and I were over on Lake Entiat, Lincoln's Rock. And I tell you, once all the lights of the campground were out and the cars quieted on the highway, I looked into the heavens. The Milky Way was present. There were billions of stars. Even saw one of the shooting stars. And I thought, this is what God was pointing out to Abraham. But it took the darkness of night to reveal to Abraham the bright future that was promised to him. And we read that Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. I love believers. I love believers who believe in the possible, even when it seems impossible. I love people who are open to the future on God's terms, which usually doesn't look at all like the future on my terms. People at Bethel, I want to suggest to you, I think this would be just wild. And you guys are kind of wild. You might just take me up on this. I would suggest that next summer you take a church camping trip over to Eastern Washington and save one night when you're willing to stay up late. Because the later you stay, the more brilliant the stars are. The darker it gets, the clearer they are. Stay up past midnight and venture out into the darkness. Carry no light with you and gather in the center of an open space and look up. Look skyward. And I will promise you that you will see the stars as you have not seen the stars in a long time. You will see more stars than you can count. Bring the children along. Let them try and count. And when you do, know that each one of you is one of the stars that God promised to Abraham and Sarah. You are the descendants. And know that you are one of the million upon millions of people who still believe that God holds the future in God's hands. And be reassured, because you've been willing to leave your place of worship for a new place, now a whole new generation of people will have the opportunity to become stars in God's family, the family of God. And I love the way you welcome stars. Stars of all kinds. This is all God asks of us, that we continue to believe that the promise, that the future is promised. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now let me translate that. Believing, trusting, going out in the dark of night not knowing, believing even when you are as good as dead, is what it means to be in right relationship with God. So as your bishop, I want to thank you on behalf of the whole Northwest Washington Synod. I want to thank you on behalf of the whole ELCA, because you have been modern day Abrahams and Sarahs. And may God continue to boldly bless you with the ability to trust and to risk God's promised future. And Pastor Odie,
yes,
one last thing. If anyone in this congregation who is 75 years plus comes to you to announce that they are heavy with child, would you let me know immediately? Because I think it'll be a great article in the Living Lutheran. Amen.